brought to you by Hunter and Chamber Radio and sponsored by our agency, Prevention Resources. My name is Jennifer Denlinger, and I'm joined by my co-host and fellow Family Support Coordinator, Christine Yanoso. We work for the Family Support Center of Prevention Resources based here in Flemington, and our jobs support families in Hunterdon, Somerset, and Mercer counties. We're excited because our guests Tina and Lonnie have come into the Chamber studio this afternoon to share with us their work with young people in our area as facilitators of our local Alateen group. Alateen meets Monday nights at 8 o'clock in Clinton at the Clinton Presbyterian Church. We'll be sharing more about Alateen in a few minutes, but first let me introduce you to our guests, Christina Honthy Little and Lonnie Little.
Hello.
Hello. Christina is a resident of Clinton, New Jersey, and in addition to her day job as the associate director for Newmark Knight Frank, she is actively involved in raising awareness about substance use disorder. She serves on the Hunterdon County Municipal Alliance and the County Alliance Steering Subcommittee. A 13-year member of Al-Anon, Tina has been in AMIAS for over 7 years. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Lonnie Little is also a resident of Clinton. He's a sales engineering director for OEM at Dell Technologies. He is actively involved in raising awareness about substance use disorder and fighting for change at both the local and national level. A 7-year member of Al-Anon, Lonnie has been in AMIAS for the last 4 years. Welcome, Lonnie.
Thank you.
First of all, Tina and Lonnie, could you please tell us about Al-Anon and Alateen? What exactly are these two groups all about, and who is encouraged to attend Al-Anon or Alateen meetings?
I'll start with the Al-Anon question. Al-Anon is a 12-step group that helps families of those who have loved ones, family members, or friends that struggle with addiction. So I've been involved with Al-Anon myself because I have a personal family history of addiction, and I got involved in 2006. And Alateen is a similar program for teenagers age. Every group is different, but in this particular instance, our group caters to kids 13 to 18 years old, and it also helps them learn how to rebuild relationships when you come from a family that's struggling with the chaos of addiction.
So these are young people who have family members who are struggling with addiction and not just alcohol. For instance.
Well, I mean, technically it's supposed to be geared only towards alcoholism. However, as you all know, addiction stems from alcoholism, opioid addiction, prescription meds. It can come in all shapes and sizes. So
sure.
We don't discriminate any of the children from attending the group if their sister is a heroin addict versus if their mother or father is an alcoholic.
Got it. Thank you.
So everybody's pretty much welcome to come.
And actually, I wanted to comment on that. The age range typically, right, Tina said it started at 13, but we do have kids who are younger than that. There's a certain level of emotional maturity for a lot of kids who are younger where Alateen's perfectly fine for them, right? So it is a conversation with their parents maybe beforehand to figure out where their emotional maturity is and if the parents are okay with exposing them to older kids who might say some provocative things and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you. So I think it's probably useful to point out here that Alateen is not a treatment program. It's not a therapy. Can you tell us the three key qualities you might use to describe what Alateen is?
So I might frame this first by saying look at the environment that a lot of these kids are coming from, right? They're coming from an environment where they're frequently not going to be listened to, right, where their emotions and how they feel typically aren't going to be taken into consideration. They probably don't have a lot of control over, you know, things that go on and happen at home, et cetera. So the purpose of the Alateen environment, or what we want to make sure we're providing for folks, is this is their opportunity for that 1 hour a week to be in a place where they can safely say what's on their mind, safely express how they feel, safely ask questions, both, you know, physical and emotional safety being in that room. It's you know, a lot of these kids have a very tough environment at home, so to have a place where they can realize they're not the only ones, other people are going through this as well, and express themselves openly and share, it's a great thing.
And
that
we all want
so great.
We all want that when we're going through something difficult, so that's especially important.
Do you run the Alateen? The Alateen group in this area?
So we are AMIAS, which stands for Al-Anon Member and Alateen Service. So you go through an annual training, you go through a background check and whatnot, and you are a facilitator for the meeting.
Okay.
You know, the other thing, these kids in their households, they don't have control over a lot, but this is their meeting to run.
Okay.
So for example, if you wanted to have a guest come in and speak, like often happens in an AA or an Al-Anon meeting, the kids have to approve that. if another EMEAS wants to come in and become a facilitator for their meeting, the kids have to approve that. It's their meeting. They own it. They're responsible for the direction and flow during that time there. Because, again, the environment they come out of, they don't have a lot of control over anything.
Yeah. Okay.
So tell us one more time what EMEAS stands for, because I'm reading the word A-M-I-A-S.
Correct.
Al-Anon Member in Alateen Service. And okay. You have to have a minimum of 2 years as an Al-Anon member for World Services and the New Jersey Assembly to allow you to take the certification class.
The New Jersey Assembly of Al-Anon?
Al-Anon.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thanks for explaining that.
Al-Anon family groups.
Yeah. Thank you. So, Lana, you just touched on a little bit, but how does the Alateen format work versus that of an adult mutual support program? What makes it different?
Probably one of the biggest things is in a traditional Al-Anon group, when you know people are going around the room and they're sharing, there's no, the term is called crosstalk. So if you're speaking, we're all listening. And we're not going to speak at each other. We're not going to give advice to each other, et cetera. It's just an opportunity for you to express, to share your experience, strength, and hope. In the Alateen environment, there is a bit of crosstalk that happens because the kids actually are the ones who are working and helping with each other. So the flow isn't as rigid as it would be in an Al-Anon meeting. You might get a bit of crosstalk that goes back and forth. And as EMEAS, as long as that's constructive and the kids are genuinely helping each other, we'll let that happen. If it's if it does get to be to a point where it's not helpful for the situation or people are talking over each other, then that's where we can come in as facilitators and help to kind of move things back on track. But the kids' meetings, they tend to be a bit more dynamic than anybody who's been to an Al-Anon meeting where it just kind of goes methodically around the room.
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on that,
sure.
too, because what he brought up before about the children learning to be in a safe environment and being listened to, a lot of times these kids come in, they have a family member or a friend that's struggling with addiction, and they become the forgotten child. All of the attention goes to the person who's struggling and the chaos surrounding them, that tornado that's running through your room, or the elephant nobody wants to talk about in the room. And we give those kids a safe, structured place to be heard. And not all of the discussion in an Alateen group is about the 12 steps of the AA and Al-Anon program. It is centered around peer pressure, around day-to-day struggles, just puberty in general, concerns or questions they have about what's going on around them with technology and their friends and sports. And that's why the meetings are a little bit less structured than an Al-Anon meeting as well, because it's giving them just a safe environment to share. And I think now with the new evidence-based science, human connectivity is key. Peer-to-peer counseling works, right? The Surgeon General's report of 2016 states peer-to-peer support groups work.
And that's what we're
allowing
here
the kids to learn how to have a safe place to mm-hmm. share and grow and be heard is so important to us. Because we had very supportive families growing up, but we both come from families of addiction.
So. Yeah. So, as a family support coordinator, I have a loved one in my, a child, but I also had parents who were both addicts, and I had gone to Alateen in, age myself, right? 1980 and 1981, and I'm sure it's structured very differently now, but it may not. It may be the same. I remember some come in, we're scared, we don't want to share, like everything's kept private for a long time. And then I guess, the group that I was with was very nurturing. And do you see that? They start to nurture each other. Those hidden secrets start to come out.
Absolutely.
It's
we're
so
teaching
healthy.
Them to
yes.
unpack the backpack and to take all of that weight of the
and
secrets
that takes time.
Off. Because a lot of us are raised in an environment where you're not allowed to talk candidly about what's going on at home. Yeah. Shh, mommy's upstairs. She has a migraine. Or be quiet. Don't upset daddy today.
Yeah.
He's drunk. And now they're learning that I can build an intimate relationship and have a structured, productive life, whether my mom or dad are shit-faced or not.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even said in the home not to talk about it. It's just known.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's just known.
And what you see, some of the kids, when they come in for the first time, they might have felt like they were forced to come in, right? Either they were told by a parent or it was strongly recommended, from court and dealing with whatever, the sibling is. And like Tina said, they're the forgotten child, so they also don't think that this impacts them, that they have an issue or that it's impacting them. And sometimes they'll come in and we'll say to the parents, you know, give them two meetings and then let them make the choice kind of thing. And more often than not, they'll come in, some will come in straight away. And as soon as they hear other people speaking, they realize I'm not the only one, and they open up right away. Yeah. Others, it's going to, you know, we have a younger boy who comes in, and he's usually very quiet. But when he's got something to say, it's tremendously impactful, and he's way more mature than you would ever guess for his age. But it just shows that these kids hear and see everything that's going on around them, and they have feelings about how it's, you know, going on. They just haven't learned how to express that and do that in a safe way.
Yeah.
So or seeing the kids grow together is just awesome when they do develop those bonds.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
So that really underscores for me that you're facilitators. You're not leaders. You're not directing. You're really holding them in a safe space. And a facilitator eases the way, right?
Yeah. So. And just like in Al-Anon, though, you're doing it by sharing your personal experience. Mm-hmm. And like they say in Al-Anon all the time, take what you like and leave the rest kind of thing,
yes.
Right? There's something that might resonate about my story that's relevant for you, and there's other things that might not. And you can influence the direction that a meeting is going by what you choose to share and when, but you do let the kids unpack on their own and relate to it in the way that they need to.
I do think the teens may think that Lonnie runs a less structured meeting than I do. I am a little bit more rigid, and I don't allow as much crosstalk or fooling around.
Okay.
I do try to stay on topic when we do choose a topic for the meeting. But again, we have other people who facilitate these meetings with us. So I'd like to give a shout out to Cassie J, Lori O, Heidi J, who's helped us out in the past, and also Katie O from Washington Township. These people commit their Monday nights to us, and we wouldn't be able to run a successful group without them.
That's amazing. It is a big commitment.
It is.
And do you generally have two adults then with each group?
We try to have two adults at each group. There are now New Jersey Assembly allows us to only have one person in a meeting because it is so hard to find qualified and certified MESs.
Okay, yeah.
But we do prefer to have two people, mm-hmm. just like Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts.
And everything.
Let's take a quick listen to our sponsors, and then we'll come right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So welcome back to Sharing the Hope. This is Christine Ginoso, and I'm here with Jennifer Denlinger, and we are with Prevention Resources. We are both family support coordinators. So in addition to providing individual support to families who have loved ones with a substance use disorder. We also have family meetings, and with our family meetings, I have one in Somerset that is in Somerville. It runs the second and the fourth Friday at 6 o'clock. And then Jennifer runs a group in Hunterdon that is the first and the third Wednesday at 6:30. So our groups are just designed to, you know, almost like a working group. It's a working model. We work with families to focus on self-care, to focus on where they are, to focus on a little bit about their sacred stories. But then we always have a focus that goes on in the meeting. Do you want to talk a little bit about the meetings for a second, Jennifer?
Oh, yeah, I'll just briefly say that we work within the CRAFT framework. We provide worksheets and talk about new ways to communicate with our loved ones who may be struggling with substance use disorder. And how, as you mentioned, Christine, self-care so that we can generally manage our lives better.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. And today we're speaking with Tina Hanty Little and Lonnie Little about their involvement with Alateen. They facilitate a weekly Alateen meeting Monday nights at 8 in Clinton at the Clinton Presbyterian Church. And during the break, we were talking a little bit more about Christine's experiences as a child herself. And Lonnie, you were mentioning that it's not unusual for people to come back training to be an MES as yourself. And can you tell us about that experience?
So the funny thing about being an MES, a lot of folks who have gone through the training with us, they first come and they say, gee, I'm not sure if this is for me or not. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Going through the training and realizing and talking with other MES who are doing it and realizing what happens at meetings, what gets discussed, what responsibility you have as an MES can sometimes be a bit overwhelming. Sometimes it can also force you to kind of look back on your own experiences when you were growing up and kind of reflect a little further and a little deeper on how you might have been impacted or the experiences that you've had.
Yeah.
It's definitely an eye-opening experience. I think going through the training alone is beneficial to understand what happens, and then it is a very personal choice, though, as to whether or not it's something that you can commit to, because it takes a lot of emotional investment to go in and get involved in a meeting and make that commitment to stay with it.
And keep it strong. I'm not sure what was happening in 1979 and 1980. I don't think there was some great training going on. I think it was, you know, some good old guys from AA running the show. And not that it wasn't good. It was a good group. But I think that you guys are probably so much more equipped today. You know, there's so much more backing with peer support, just like you were saying, that, you know, the state of New Jersey is putting some stuff behind that, you know, and how important it is, you know, to have that structure.
And I think there's always been a stigma about going and getting support, whether or not it's individual support or it's group support, et cetera, and no matter what the format, right? And now it's far more accepted that, you know, it's a strength to actually ask for help as opposed to a weakness. You know, it used to be perceived as a weakness. The other thing about the meetings that we had talked about it during the break, where the meetings from days ago versus today, even today's meetings can be very different. We've had guest MES who the teens have approved to come in to observe our meeting because they were going to start up their own meeting and were looking for ideas and things. And, you know, they might have had some time in their own meetings or visiting other meetings, but they oftentimes are really shocked at how open and direct and raw the emotion and the things that these kids will share, because it's just not something that they were prepared to hear.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful experience because you realize these kids really must trust you if they're sitting and opening up this much and talking about this kind of stuff. It's super cool. But at the same time, you know, back to that training that you just had, am I emotionally ready as an MES to,
it's a responsibility
to go in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but that's why they provide the training, too, so
which
we can identify if there's any abuse going on in the household or if somebody's struggling with suicidal thoughts. You know, we have an obligation to report that. For the most part, the kids are just sharing candidly, and they want to be heard.
Yeah. So how many kids do you usually have at a meeting?
We have between 8 and 12 on any given Monday.
Okay.
I think it's harder for kids to get to a meeting unless they have a driver's license. They rely on the parent, sometimes the parent that is struggling with the addiction. So we've had as little as one kid in a meeting. And, in fact, we've had one kid come to a meeting, and we've given them the option of going up to an Al-Anon meeting or going for coffee at City Spot, of course, plug for City Spot.
Okay.
And they chose to have a meeting one-on-one. Because it's that important to them.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and the other thing is when we got this meeting started at Clinton Presbyterian, the reason that we chose that location, number one, the church itself was just tremendously supportive of us.
Thank you, and, Pastor Tracy Henry.
and the congregation has been tremendously supportive. But there's also an established AA meeting that's there. We started an Al-Anon meeting, and the Alateen meeting happens at the same time. So if you do have a family and someone has a meeting that they need to be to, now it's far easier for the kids to get to their own meeting because now the parents or the siblings can go to the appropriate meeting for them.
Loved ones, everyone has a spot.
Exactly. Yeah. So the AA meeting.
Community of recovery.
Yeah. The AA meeting that was there was tremendously supportive. We talked to them and asked them for a group conscious first to make sure it was going to be okay with them because they were long established. We started the Al-Anon meeting, and it took a while to get the Alateen meeting going, but now with all three, families have one place to go to, and everybody gets what they need.
So, Lonnie, you just used a very intriguing phrase, the group conscious. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so we've talked about the kids' meetings where the kids make the choices about, for example, having someone come in from the outside, a guest amias, and the phrase that's used is the group conscious. So it's, you know, call it survivor, you know, we get voted off the island kind of thing. But, you know, that does happen. The kids will sit down and they'll talk about whether or not they're okay with whatever the change is proposed. It could be a change in how the meeting happens. It could be a change in, or, you know, asking someone to come in. It could be how money gets spent, right? You know, it all of those things are under the kids' control, and it happens where the kids will discuss one way or the other, and then the kids vote, and the vote's the vote.
That's great.
Right, yeah. Keep them involved, yeah.
So what can a newcomer expect when a young man or woman walks into the meeting for the first time?
The newcomer teen?
The newcomer teen, yeah. What's the meeting?
I think it's important to know a lot of times a newcomer comes in because the parent forces them to come into the room. It's not often the child's decision to be brought to an Alateen meeting. So I think, for the most part, we try to make it very informal. And the first group, or the first time a kid attends a group, we try to allow all of the kids to share their personal story. So we keep it informal. We keep it like a step one meeting. What brought you here? Were you forced to come here? And we have all the kids in the room share about their first meeting and how uncomfortable or wonderful it was for them. Because for every kid who might struggle with the first meeting, there's another kid who felt at ease and very comfortable the first time they walked into the room. You know, again, my own kids are students at North. Well, my oldest son is a student at North, and Griffin allowed me to talk about him today on the radio. And he has brought friends into the meeting, and he also has been a mentor to other kids who come into the rooms. You know, he supports them in their efforts to deal with the alcoholism at home, and he continues to spearhead that at school himself, too.
That's wonderful.
Actually, there's a question that had come in as to whether or not Alateen is free. And yes, these meetings are free, right? The money that I talked about before where the kids make money decisions, we do take donations from the kids who come to the meeting so that we can, you know, pay rent, buy books, that kind of stuff. You know, so that we're not talking a lot of money, but, you know, that's entirely voluntary as to what kids bring.
They want to contribute.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something about he can mentor. Is that, do they have like almost sponsor each other?
Yes.
Or
yes. In Alateen, okay, we encourage the kids to sponsor one another. So adults are not permitted to sponsor the teens. Once you become 18, we could obviously mentor. And so, you know, we're already acting as mentors to these children who come into the rooms. But we encourage the teens to interface with one another outside of and in the meetings themselves, because let's face it, just like in a regular Al-Anon meeting, you're put into a room with a bunch of strangers that you may or may not see in the halls at school, and you may not otherwise be friends with them outside of these rooms. But now you share a very common bond, which we call the Silent Fist Bump Club, and you know that you have something in common. You have something at the core, at the root, that you're both fighting for, which is recovery.
So a new young person comes in, somebody who's already there, or somebody a little bit older would almost like then take them under their wing? Or?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Some of the older kids keep coming back because they want to give back to the group.
Because they've gotten so much.
Give back to the newcomers in the room. My own children started in the program very young. It started in NetCong, and they allowed kids, as long as you could read, you were welcome in that group. So my children started at 7 and 9.
Wow.
And now they're 18 and 20.
Okay.
So it's a 10-plus years attending an Al-Anon meeting, an Alateen meeting, and learning the tools of recovery. How wonderful is that? I mean, they've known me longer in recovery than they knew me without.
Tina, can you tell us, when you say tools of recovery, can you give us some examples of that and also maybe some of the topics that they do choose to speak about in their meetings?
Sure. Well, like at an Al-Anon meeting or in an Al-Anon program, you learn to put the focus back on yourself. We get so wrapped up in the alcoholic and the craziness at home and what's going on with them and how to control their drinking. When you get into an Al-Anon program, you learn to start doing self-care. And that's what we're teaching the kids, to start doing self-care, to make sure that just because mom or dad isn't functioning well on a day-to-day basis doesn't mean that you should ignore school, that you should not be a teenager, that you should not take care of yourself, that you should not think about your future. You know, you have an opportunity here to rewrite history, and that's what we're telling these kids. This is your story. Use this as your foundation to build you up, and, you know, we're going to give you the tools to do that. So there's slogans. We use acronyms for lots of things, like FEAR, face everything and recover, or, you know, what is, pull the frog, fully rely on God, or, you know, we use little tools and acronyms so that the kids can get used to hearing these things and recognize them in their day-to-day lives. You know, we have kids go, God, Tina and her slogans, but they remember them, and they share them with other kids.
Yeah, I think for a lot of these kids, there's a phrase that Tina uses all the time, right, about, you know, you will get better.
When you believe you deserve better,
you will get better. And for a lot of these kids, it's a fait accompli. I come from this family where, you know, there might be issues, et cetera. So this is all I'm ever going to be, and this is all I'm worth, and that kind of thing. And starting to undo that programming and help them understand that, yeah, all of that stuff might have happened, and it doesn't negate how you feel, and it doesn't negate, you know, where your situation in life is today. But you're moving into your adulthood. These are going to be your choices. These are the decisions you make. And the only person you're really hurting with these choices is yourself, right? I mean, we all grew up as teens. We all wanted to get back at our parents and, you know, do something they didn't want us to do, et cetera. But in the end, the only people we were really hurting was ourselves. And for a lot of these kids, as they move through high school and on into college, that starts to click, and it's so cool to see it start to click and for them to really take on in, you know, ownership of their lives and take responsibility for the choices that they make. That's part of the biggest, you know, benefit that we see as AMIAS, is watching these kids grow up and develop into awesome citizens, you know, in their communities and take, you know, active control and responsibility for their own choices.
You're empowering them,
yeah,
which is wonderful.
So you had mentioned real quick about the silent fist pump. So if they see, how good are the kids with confidentiality? Are they kind of respectful, or do they worry that someone's going to go to school and say, oh, you know, this one was at the meeting? Or
I think they understand what anonymity is. We talk about anonymity with them. And it's much different, I think, for the addict than it is for the loved one of the addict. The anonymity can be a matter of life and death or losing your job. However, kids are still ashamed by what they're experiencing at home. So we do encourage them to not talk about what is discussed in those rooms. I think for the most part, we've been very successful with our teens and not having them break one another's anonymity without their permission. You know, we'll say, can we say this or can we say that? Like today I asked my boys, can I talk about you, Griffin? Can I talk about you, Christopher? Because I'm proud that I have two boys who clearly don't drink, don't do drugs, don't vape, don't participate in that environment, because they know that they are predisposed to addiction and the disease of addiction, substance use disorder.
And just checking in with them and asking them is an example, right? So we're going to, you know, we're asking permission.
Is it okay?
Is it okay, right? That respect is so important. So we do have to take another quick break.
Okay. We'll come back
to that question. We'll be back real quick. I'm sorry.
Yes.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Everybody out there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to our program, Sharing the Hope. We're here with Christina and Lonnie Honthy Little, and we're talking about Alateen this afternoon. So, building on our previous conversation about anonymity, I wonder if both of us could tell us a little bit more about why you speak so candidly about your own experiences.
I come from a long line of addiction. My maternal and paternal grandfathers were heavy drinkers, and so I was raised in a family of secrecy and shame or running away from that. My maternal grandfather died from alcoholism surrounded by bottles. And I think you carry that behavior and that shame with you into your everyday life. And so I also married into a family of addiction. And I realized really quickly that I couldn't fix it and I couldn't control what was going on at home, and I was steered towards the Al-Anon program, which certainly changed my perspective on seeing addiction and substance use disorder as a disease, and it changed my life. And I just did not want to carry that in secrecy anymore. I mean, I wanted to break that cycle of shame and speak about things openly and honestly.
And you know, also coming from a similar family background, it was not discussed. You didn't talk about it, right? No one ever talked about it. And, you know, some of the funny stories that I share with the kids about when I finally found out, for example, about one of my family members when they made amends to me and the situation, and they were 32 years sober at that point, you know, but as a kid, I didn't know any of the history or the background of what had happened. That was all a mystery to me. So sitting down one day and having that conversation was just awesome to find all that out. But what we find when we speak, no matter what the venue is, especially if it's a public kind of venue, invariably somebody comes up to you after and says, oh, and they look around from side to side to make sure nobody can hear, and oh, you know, well, my sibling or my child or my, you know, and for us, when you speak something out loud and you get it out and you're no longer, holding that secret inside, that secret's like poison. And when you finally get that out and it take that weight off your shoulder, it's tremendous.
It's so healing.
Us speaking, if it inspired somebody to have that conversation with us off to the side, even though nobody else could, you know, hear or whatever, that's a good first step, and maybe they will find a therapist. Maybe they will find a 12-step meeting. Maybe they will find the strength and courage to continue on and start to unpack all of those things that they've been holding on to inside for so long.
And I found once I started talking about it and being more open about it, the help was there, right? The hardest thing is asking for help. And when I was honest with myself and my friends, help came from everywhere.
Yeah.
And I credit the entire township of Byram in New Jersey for saving my family and my children from what we were struggling with. And there are so many people who were angels to us. And, you know, we've learned it takes somebody who's been there to talk to somebody who is there. that's why peer-to-peer counseling works, whether it's in the Alateen format, AA, or Al-Anon.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why our family support coordinators, that's what we do, and that's why we can connect so well with other families struggling. It's just that you've walked in the shoes, you know, and then you're halfway there. Yeah,
right. I've had that experience. I can show you what strength I've gained from what I've learned, and I can show you hope, because there is life after is what life, you struggle with.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing a lot of gratitude, in spite of the situations that you grew up in, to be able to talk about it and share it. I'm hearing a lot of gratitude coming through you.
And it shapes who you are today. I don't regret any of the experiences I had in my life, because it wouldn't have gotten to me to where I am. And I look back and I chuckle, and I say this all the time when I'm sharing in meetings. You discover something about yourself, and you're all excited, you know, well, in the beginning, you probably are beating yourself up for why you did it in the first place, and et cetera. But learning how to love yourself and forgive yourself is one of the biggest parts of this process, too. And then once you get to that point, you get all excited. I learned this new thing. This is awesome. I'm empowered now. And you think you're done. No, this isn't a diet. This is a lifestyle change, right? This is not correct. 2 weeks and you lose a few pounds and you're done kind of thing. This is a lifestyle change. And the benefit of it being a lifestyle change is it's constantly giving back to you, because you're constantly open-minded to discovering new things and new ways, you know, to go get better and be a better person and be a better participant in your community and, you know, whatever it is that you choose to do in life. It's not just about your relationship with your family or your addict. You're going to be a better everything in life if you can open up and really bring that focus back to you.
Yeah.
Well, and think about it. You're learning to rebuild relationships and build an intimate connection with somebody when you haven't had that in your home life. You're learning to make positive choices. We're giving the kids the stability and the structure that they may not be getting at home right now or may have never had at home.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's wonderful.
It's fun to see the kids speak for the first time at meetings. They might choose to speak at a, you know, a celebration meeting for AA or Al-Anon. And, you know, it just brings tears to everybody's eyes. But as Tina knows, I'm a complete sap and will cry at, you know, commercials. It's just overwhelming to see how far some of these kids have come in understanding who they are and how this has impacted them and what they're choosing to do, you know, about it kind of thing. And hearing them share their stories, there's not a dry eye in the room. But it really helps them to take the power away. That thing that they've held inside for so long, the more they talk about it openly, it takes away its power. It has no power over them anymore.
That's wonderful. So tell me a little bit about that. So you would have a teen maybe go into an AA celebration and talk about their personal recovery?
They're invited all the time.
Very nice. Okay, so they're not talking about their loved one's recovery. They're talking about their
They're talking about themselves.
Right.
Yep,
recovery,
it's their story.
And how
their
far they've recovery. Come. That's great.
At anniversary celebrations or other speaker meetings, they often come to us and ask to solicit the kids in our group to speak. Because I think we like to think we run the best Alateen group in New Jersey.
Of course.
I'm sure there's plenty.
Sounds like you do.
Yes. I'm sure there's plenty, but we had seen a need in Hunterdon County. There was not an Alateen meeting when I moved here 6 years ago. So that was why we did start this one at the Clinton Presbyterian.
So, Tina, I'm wondering about advice you'd give to our listeners who may be thinking about getting involved with Alateen on some level, or maybe encouraging their children to become involved with Alateen.
I think, how do you get your teen involved in Alateen? If you see that they're struggling with their friends or family members' addiction, let them know that there is a peer-to-peer support group that's local. Just because it's located at a church doesn't mean it's a religious group. You know, I think that's hard for some people, is the religious aspect versus the spirituality aspect. And there's a phrase that I use often, and people probably are sick of hearing, where I say religion is for people who don't want to go to hell and spirituality is for people who've already been there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times the kids are struggling and they feel that they're in hell, and they come into these meetings not believing in God or not believing in anything, really, because they've had nothing to believe in. And so let them know that there's a group of teens where you'll find people just like you who are struggling with the same things, who have a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a best friend who might be struggling with substance use disorder. And let them try it just twice. Say, you know, listen, just give it two shots. I don't like to push the agenda on the kids. I don't like to make them come every single week, because something needs to be their decision,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're involved in that decision-making process, it's always way more successful. The kids who are forced to go rarely come back. The kids who choose to go are the ones that thrive.
Yeah, I mean, that's life in general, right? If you're bought into, if you're invested in whatever it is that you have to do, you're going to do, you know, better at it versus if someone's forcing you to do it. The other thing I wanted to bring up, though, too, is because of Tina's work in the community on her alliances that she's involved in, she and Griffin and Christopher have had the opportunity to speak at some of the schools. And that's, you know, a public environment and sharing their story with students, and that winds up being a commercial advertisement for a lot of kids to make that choice to maybe I'll try that Monday thing, right? If that varsity football player up there can do this,
nice.
You know, maybe it's something that I should try. And the a lot of the kids, you know, that was a big barrier for them is how they're going to be perceived by their friends. And they have specials in school where they can go and they can get support, for example, in some of the schools locally here. But your friends know you're going to that special because you're getting pulled out of a class or something like that. So it's not as anonymous as they would like. The building we actually meet in is not in the church. It's in the church parking lot. It's a separate building. And it's kind of nice because it's a clubhouse. So it doesn't feel like, you know, you're sitting in the middle of a church and you don't necessarily, people aren't going past your door and, you know, looking in the window or anything else like that. So you do have your own sense of space. So I think that helps a lot, too.
Sounds pretty cool.
So can you tell us again, just to remind our listeners, when and where these meetings are?
On Monday nights, Clinton Presbyterian Church, 91 Center Street at 8 p.m. in the Wolverton Building.
The Wolverton Building.
51 weeks a year. It would be 52 if they didn't have Vacation Bible School, but
okay.
The whole entire church closes the week of Vacation
and
Bible
And the meetings
school.
Are an hour long?
Meetings are an hour long. People ask us all the time, too, like this year, you know, the holidays came about, and, well, are you guys going to be, you know, for Christmas, are you taking off, or New Year's, are you taking off? No.
You were
right?
there.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah, like I said, the Vacation Bible School is the only week where the church is using all of the property, so they need their space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only day that's the only week we won't have
I mean,
a meeting.
I can only name in the last 4 years maybe two times that no one showed up for a meeting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you always have somebody. You always have a group there. That's
There's
nice.
Always,
yeah.
If it's not a group, it's at least one.
It's at least one.
And that's why, again, we're crediting the people who work with you, the four names that you listed, because that's six of you for all those evenings. That's a pretty wonderful thing. So here's another kind of question for you. Have there been some challenges that surprised you?
For me, yes. Some parents think that it's a babysitting group. So we've had instances where people will bring in their children just to leave them, and they're not even able to read or understand or comprehend what's going on in the room. So, you know, those are sensitive issues. We've had other times when parents think it's an AA or an NA meeting. And so they'll bring their child who's actually struggling with the substance use into the rooms.
Just briefly, most of our listeners probably know, but what would an AA meeting or NA meeting be?
You're looking at me? Okay. So Narcotics Anonymous, so for people who are suffering from narcotics problems, right, that would be for them, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. That would be for the addict themselves to go to, and the focus obviously is on their own personal recovery.
So parents with teenage children who are using themselves, they think Alateen is going to help them, right? Well, that's a good clarification.
We've had instances where the parent wants to come into the room, and these are closed meetings for the teen with no parents present. And we pull them outside and just say, this is the meeting for your child. You know, there's nothing in here that we're going to come back and report to you on unless we're concerned for their welfare or, you know, we need to report it to the authorities. Otherwise, this is a safe, quiet, closed group for your child to share.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is having that Al-Anon meeting and the AA meeting that are across the parking lot in the church, you know, that they can go to. I mean, they could choose to go to City Spot and have a coffee, or they could, you know, go up to their own meeting kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised, too. You'd think that all the parents would want to go up to a meeting if their own child is in a meeting, but there's plenty of parents who just drop and run.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think probably the only surprises for me have not been so much with the kids, but, you know, having the parents who show up, who are dropping their kids off, who are the substance abusers, and they're under the influence at the time.
Oh,
you know,
that's tough.
That's just tough emotionally to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that those are, I think, more of the surprises have to do with the adults who are around and not
that's
so
what
much
it sounds
with the kids.
Like, yeah, yeah. That it's the expectations or behaviors of adults.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you are in control of your child's, and they're 18 or under, right? If they're still in your house, drive as much as you can. If you can get them to go to a meeting, if you can get them to start unpacking that backpack, that weight of rocks that's been holding them down for so long, you know, of course, there's always that dual diagnosis. You know, is it anxiety, depression, OCD? You know, this will help uncover that when they start to share openly with their friends and their peers.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's one more place where they can share and feel empowered. So no matter what else is happening with them, they
and
can
I think
start to feel
the
good.
Key that I'm hearing is safe. They're safe there, you know. So we do have to run to one more listen to our sponsors and then come back and have some closing comments.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. I'm Jennifer with Christine, and we're speaking with Tina and Lonnie, who have been talking to us this afternoon about Alateen, and there is a lot for us to talk about. We're really eager to hear about the rewards that you've experienced as Alateen facilitators and maybe some of the success stories of the young people you've worked with.
I think, you know, for me, whether you're a coach of little kids on a little league team or you're a teacher, or right, the biggest reward is seeing these kids now take on ownership for the choices that they make, feeling empowered, realizing that they deserve better, and watching them grow into awesome young adults. And, you know, seeing some of these kids go off to college and, you know, thrive now in an environment before where they didn't have self-confidence, et cetera. Seeing these kids as they get towards the end of high school and they're realizing this choice is on me now. And I'm not going to blame, you know, my parents, for example, for something they are or aren't doing for me or whatever. I've got to own this. I can do this, right? And watching them make those choices and then come back in and celebrate, I got accepted, you know, and, you know, I got a scholarship. And they felt just a few years ago that these wouldn't even be options in their lives kind of thing. That is the biggest reward for me is just, you know.
He's crying.
Yes. You can't help it.
How many years have you been leading Alateen?
I think I'm almost 8 years. I started in NetCong, and then when I moved here, I did not do it for a year. I subbed for a year in NetCong and realized there was no meeting here, and then we started up the group at Clinton. But for me, the success stories, in addition to the kids in our group that we've had there for the last 4 years who are going on to do wonderful things and learning how to public speak without shaking or crying and learning how to speak their truth, are, of course, my two boys. I think I'm impartial. I have an 18-year-old son and a 20-year-old. My oldest is at college in Savannah College of Art and Design. He does not use drugs, drink, smoke. He stays away from those situations because he recognizes he's predisposed to addiction due to his family history. And he's succeeding without it, you know. And he's being a mentor, and, you know, he speaks locally at Al-Anon groups. He's invited to speak June 8th to a meeting in Rockaway on a Saturday afternoon if anybody wants to hear him. And then my other son, Griffin, same thing. I mean, they've both proven that you could be good at school and you could have friends and you could be popular and be on the National Honor Society or a football star by not participating in that stuff. You know,
what a great
the tools
message.
Work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The tools work.
It's been funny to see, like when we went to school, of course, if you didn't partake, you know, you were ostracized and looked down upon and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't want to as a kid growing up because I was always terrified I was going to go down that path too. And nowadays it's cool to see that it is – kids are far more supportive of each other and more aware in general. I think the kids are, or you know, there's less of a stigma than there is with the adults who still, you know, see that shame and whatnot, and don't seek help. So that's super encouraging because that's a pretty, relatively speaking, a short period of time for the culture to change, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good.
Thank you for that. I guess we're about ready to wrap it up. Am I right? Are we
yeah.
at the mm-hmm. time? So we're going to be wrapping it up. We thank you so much for your time and your candidness this afternoon. And we know you have an interest in an organization called Shatterproof. We didn't even get to that this afternoon, but can we invite you back in a few weeks for another conversation on another topic?
Sure.
We would love to come back and talk
about Shatterproof. Very, very briefly, tell us what Shatterproof is about.
I'll set the teaser. Right, Shatterproof is to addiction what, like, the American Cancer Society is to cancer, the American Heart Association, right, is to heart disease. It's unfortunately, right, we've all seen it in Hunterdon County. You'll have someone who has the experience of their child dying from addiction or mm-hmm. you know, drunk driving incident or whatever, and everybody means well and they put together a foundation and they try and raise money and a scholarship, et cetera. And those are all useful things, but if you really want to change the dynamic, you have to go focus on changing the legislation. You have to go focus on getting the medical community to actually have a diagnosis and treatment plan for substance abuse, as opposed to, all right, you did your 90 days, you know, go find a meeting kind of thing.
You have to think big and you have to have vision.
Yeah.
And Shatterproof is a national nonprofit organization that basically dedicates itself to ending the devastation that addiction causes to families. I mean, the gentleman who started it, Gary Mandel, his son died of an opioid addiction in 2011, and he dedicated his life to changing
and raising
awareness.
And to be clear, his son was in sobriety, but because of the shame of feeling like I might fail again and I might disappoint my family, et cetera, again, he chose to commit suicide, right? Mm. Horrific. You know, and for Gary saying, you know, his thought was, here I am, I've got all of these resources available to me, you know, because he was a successful businessman, and I couldn't fix this. I couldn't change the outcome.
Yeah.
So that's what got him started.
Well, I would be really honored if you'd come back and talk to us about Shatterproof.
Yeah,
it means a lot
to
a lot of us.
More about it. Yeah.
So again, Alateen meets every Monday night, 8 o'clock, at the Clinton Presbyterian Church in Clinton. To find Al-Anon meetings near you, visit www.alanon.org or call 888-425-2666. And for local Naranon meetings, visit www.naranon.org or call 800-477-6291. Thank you, everyone, for following and listening to our show. We'll be here again next Thursday at 5. You can look us up on Facebook, Sharing the Hope, and see the streaming of the show at any time. And if you like our show on Facebook, it helps spread the word to more people. Thank you again for spending time with us today and sharing the hope.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www. HunterdonChamberRadio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump rolls out a $16 billion aid package for farmers and ranchers.
This support for farmers will be paid for by the billions of dollars our Treasury takes in. We'll be taking in, depending on what period of time we're talking, many billions of dollars.
The president was then asked about convicted terrorist John Walker Lynn being released from prison on Thursday.
Am I happy about it? Not even a little bit.
The Justice Department has hit WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange with Espionage Act charges, significantly escalating the legal fight against a high-profile activist. Thursday's revelation of the 18 additional charges filed in the Eastern District of Virginia mean Assange could face significantly more prison time if found guilty. A $19 billion disaster aid bill is headed to the House after passage in the Senate by an 85-8 vote. The bill is expected to be signed by President Trump. This is USA Radio News.
Rocket to stardom with the savings at Kohl's. Save on Elton John Rocket Man tees, only $14.99. Pick up family swimwear under $19.99. And beach towels are just $9.99. Plus, take $10 off your purchase of $25 or more. Plus, get $5 Kohl's cash for every $25 spent. Kohl's. See Rocket Man in theaters May 31st, rated R. Select styles, $10 offer valid May 23rd through 27th with promo code SERVICE10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
President Trump is feuding with Democrats as well as his former Secretary of State. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
President Trump again calling his former Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, quote, dumb as a rock, tweeting on Thursday morning that Tillerson was totally ill-prepared and ill-equipped to be Secretary of State. That after in a closed-door House hearing this week, Tillerson reportedly said that Russian President Vladimir Putin out-prepared Trump during a key meeting in Germany, and he says that put the U.S. at a disadvantage. Trump arguing in his tweet that Tillerson made up the story and argued that he was very well-prepared and the meeting had great results. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Stocks are tumbling at the close on Wall Street over renewed trade fears. At the closing bell on Thursday, the Dow lost 286 points to close at 25,490. The NASDAQ fell.
Hey, Pat.
No, between the two of us,
Max
we know
Living,
how to screw in a light bulb.
To you by the
Come on,
Steve. Challenge
we can
Clinton,
do better than that.
Join
well,
me, your host,
can.
Mark Lerone.
Tell you what,
every
you
Wednesday,
sit there and look pretty,
PM,
and
right
I'll
here
fix
on
it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying this morning the president's engaged in a cover-up as Democrats are beating the drums of impeachment again. At the Capitol this morning, Pelosi said no one is above the law, and that goes for President Trump. She spoke after a closed-door meeting with the Democratic caucus. But not far away, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the White House fully cooperated with the full special counsel investigation into alleged Russian election meddling.
The idea that this White House hasn't cooperated and has resisted is completely absurd. In fact, the only people that we see resisting in this process are Democrats who are resisting the conclusion of the Mueller report.
More severe weather likely today in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, and Ohio. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root.